So, Lord, the best part of today is you. Everything that we enjoy about today is because you made it that way, Lord. And we thank you for the sunlight, and we just pray that, Lord, your light will shine upon your word as we read it this morning. And I give you this message, Lord, again, as ever, and pray that you be able to use it, Holy Spirit, to bring about good. That you would open our hearts and minds to what you want to say to us and how you want us to proceed and how we need to be taught. May you be our teacher this morning. Holy Spirit, come, I pray. Amen. So today's sermon is entitled simply the word wait, W-A-I-T, wait. It's the 22nd of November 2020, and we're heading close towards the end of a very difficult year, one like has never been before, to me anyway. So I'm going to read from 2 Peter 3 verses 1 to 13. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Saviour through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming that he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare and burned up. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. That sounds horrific and yet very promising if you're on the right side of God. Everything that you know will be destroyed by fire. But as God created everything that we enjoy now, he is recreating in perfection, without sin and without evil. I want to be there. You know, I learn a lot from my dog. We talk about my dog and our rabbit and our cat a lot because I think the Lord speaks to me through our pets. And because I spend a lot of time with her, I find there are many times when God speaks to me about my life when compared to her life. She's about 9 years old now, and she's showing signs of slowing down like me, and she's not quite as fast as she used to be like me, and her teeth are worn like mine, and due to a constant insatiable desire to run after and retrieve balls, or sticks if you can't find a ball. Her eyes are beginning to dim a little bit, but when the light is right, she can still catch a ball when thrown into the air. Most mornings, her first desire is to get outside and run after something. She's a border collie, and that's what they want to do. If no one is prepared to throw a ball for her, then the next best thing, and I really mean this, she's not a Labrador, the next best thing is to eat her breakfast and all that follows that. Following those predictable activities, she often just settles down at the back door and waits. Sits in the sun and waits and waits and waits. She can quite easily wait from early morning after she's been fed to 3 or 4 in the afternoon. She's got full run of the garden. She's not trapped in anywhere, but she'll just wait. She'll watch the cat and she might watch the birds and things like that. But basically, she's waiting. Just waiting for one thing, really. For her master or somebody like her master to appear in his wellies, jacket and cap. And as soon as she hears the rattle of her dog lead, she enters into an excited barking frenzy, hoping that we're going out for a walk. Toffee is generally speaking obedient, but when it comes to taking her on the lead and walking towards the field where she can gallop around freely, it's very difficult to keep her quiet. She's talking all the time, as dogs do, or stop her pulling on the lead. Both of which are quite irritating, actually. So when we get close to the barbed wire fence that we climb through into the field, she pulls even harder in her excitement to drag me into the field with her and to get the ball out again. So this is where I have to make sure that she's not taking control of me. And I take her lead off and I command that she sits and waits until I tell her that it's safe and the right time to get into the field. This is a real test of her ability to follow orders and above and beyond what she really, really wants to do. And in fact, it almost looks cruel from a point of view that I don't just let her race under the barbed wire fence and go ape in the field. But I have to know that I'm still in control. And that if I need to call her back to me quickly in an emergency for safety reasons or if the cows are after or anything like that, I am fairly confident that I could do that. You know, sometimes waiting is the hardest thing to do, especially when you think you're running out of time, that the ideal time is actually now, or that you simply just don't want to wait. I don't like waiting. I know what I want and I want it now. But patience and waiting, as we know, is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And patience is needed when you have to wait what seems like an inordinate amount of time. Without patience, we will find waiting what seems like too long a time. We'll find it practically impossible. From Galatians 5, 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Do you remember what happened when Abram and Sarah ran out of patience? When God promised them that he would give them a son, Isaac, through whom would come salvation. Yes, they let their human intelligence, their reason and their weakness get the better of them. And as a consequence of wanting a son, they really wanted a son, Abraham ended up with a son from the wrong woman. The firstborn male was from the slave girl Hagar, not from Sarah. And that in itself has caused world division and misunderstanding and confusion and hatred and anger between two of the major world religions ever since Judaism, and Islam. God was not slow in keeping his promise to Abram and Sarah, but from their point of view, it looked like either they had misheard God or that God had forgotten about them. Either way, Isaac was eventually born to them in their old age, and eventually, a long time later, at just the right time, Jesus was born for us. From 2 Peter 3:15a, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. So why do I make Toffee wait and try and train her? It's not for my ego, it's for her own good. The more she is under control, the more freedom she gets to enjoy. And the less likely she is to get hurt by the barbed wire fence as she dives under it. And other man-made things. But it's so difficult waiting for the Lord to return, isn't it? It's so difficult waiting. As we see the signs in the earth, in the world, leading up to his return, we want it to come now, today. And that's what we should do. We should long for his return. But maybe we should be careful and not jump the gun, so to speak. We have learned from Scripture that being hasty and impatient is a foolish thing and can easily lead us into a situation that we will later perhaps regret. So, what should we be doing while we're waiting for the Lord's return to take us home? What can we be doing that makes it more bearable? Well, everyone knows what the disciples should have been doing in the Garden of Gethsemane because Jesus told them what to do. In Matthew 26, 36 to 41, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." You'd think he was talking to a dog, perhaps. But he's not. He's telling them to sit there while he goes over there and prays. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." And then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. "Watch and pray. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body, the flesh, is weak." This is where we're at now. Watch and pray so that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. As we're waiting for Jesus' return, that's what we've got to do. Watch and wait. I'm sure the disciples wanted to please Jesus and be loyal to him, but sometimes it's easier said than done, isn't it? No doubt they had good intentions, they believed they could do it, what he asked them, but in reality their flesh got the better of them. They did what came naturally. It was getting dark, and they fell asleep. That's what happens. We are tempted to do exactly the same thing. It's getting spiritually darker day by day in this world. Something is going on, and we really ought to be awake and understanding what it is. We either want to get out of here, or we want to go to sleep. We'd like to go to sleep, wouldn't we, and wake up in heaven? Come on, let's be honest. That's what we'd like to do. When you wake up, sometimes you wake up and you think, "I'm still here. I wish I was there, not here." Totally understandable. And I fully understand that. But we need to encourage one another not to give up in that way. It's hard work doing nothing. It's hard work doing nothing, and it's even harder when you're fretting and you're yearning. Even though we are expected to long for his return, what should we be doing? Matthew 24, 42 to 51. Therefore, keep watch. Be a watchman. Keep alert, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. That is a fact. Anybody who prophesies that they know the time and the date will fail. They will, in effect, be either presumptuous or false prophets. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready. Are we ready? Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is wicked and says to himself, "Hey, my master's staying away a long time," and he then begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with drunkards. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I can tell Toffee to sit and wait while I walk off into the distance in the field. She'll do it until I look too small for comfort. And then I can see her getting to her feet and starting to edge forward and start creeping forward. You can't blame her. She thinks that I'm leaving her behind. And we're the same in many ways. Many years ago, my mum asked my dad's sister, that's my auntie, who was an elderly spinster, whether she believed in Jesus. It's almost like a confrontation. Well, do you believe? Do you believe in Jesus? She hesitated a bit, but eventually Mum got her to confess. "Yes, I do," she retorted. Strange way to reply, but she did say, "Yes, I do." And then she followed with this: "But he said he was coming back." You know, I can really sympathize with that response. In just a few words, she testified to her disappointment that Jesus hadn't returned in her lifetime. But did she know the scriptures well enough to overcome her doubts and fears? Did she know and have the assurance that to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God? Paul the Apostle certainly did. In Philippians 1, 21 to 24, he says, "For to me, Paul, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body." He knew that he was on a mission that he had been given by God personally. He'd been told in advance that he would take the message of salvation through Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. That's us here. That's why we believe, in part, through Paul. And people like Paul. Fruitful labor. Do you have some of that lined up? Do you have some fruitful labor lined up while you're waiting? It can be as simple as praying, giving your time to worthy causes, witnessing to your friends, your family, maybe your neighbours. It could be supporting others while they actively get involved in evangelism and things like that. That would be fruitful labour, or whatever the Holy Spirit calls you to do. Sitting and waiting, doing nothing, can't really be seen as fruitful labour. I don't expect much from Toffee, really. I know she's only a dog, but she's useful. She teaches me about myself, and she gives me exercise, or an excuse to get exercise. She expects very little from me, other than I feed her and exercise her. I don't abandon her. And in return, she is a faithful dog and does what dogs do. Why should I expect more? I hope that she will remain a faithful companion. And I guess God's the same with us, isn't he? He hopes that. He doesn't expect the impossible from us. He expects us just to be what we are, but born again, fresh, obedient and loving, and keeping him as the master and nothing else. So what does God expect from you? How is he training you? What are you doing while you're waiting? Don't just sit there looking at your watch, hoping he's going to return. He is going to return, and he won't be late. But what's he going to find us doing when he returns? Watch and wait and pray and seek to do his will. Love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. Love never fails. Let's love him as he loves us. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you that you are making plans, you are preparing a place for us even as we speak, Lord, that we can be where you are. And we know that at just the right time, we will be called back. In the meantime, Lord, help us to encourage one another and to, Lord, do things that are fruitful labour for the sake of you and your kingdom. Father, strengthen us, we pray. Keep us together as a church. Build your church, and may the gates of Hades not prevail against it, even in these difficult times. Lord, we long for your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.